Good morning, brethren. Welcome to part two, Tribulation, Millennium, and Beyond. I want to refresh your memory a little bit about how we ended. And that was after the millennium, after the 1,000-year millennium, Satan was again released, brought the nations of the earth to war again against Israel, and God destroyed the armies and then destroyed Satan by putting him in the lake of fire. So I wonder if you thought about that at all and what that really is telling us, what that means. It should be kind of obvious, put two and two together. If after the millennium, Satan is still able to cause the nations to war, then we didn't have the Day of Atonement yet. Only after the first fruit spring harvest can the main fall harvest of the Feast of Tabernacles begin. Before the Feast of Tabernacles, the fall harvest, Feast of Ingathering, there is the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. The Fast of Atonement pictures the sincere repentance of the main harvest of humanity and the judgment and final removal of Satan forever as the ultimate source of sin, decay, and death on a day of fasting and sincere repentance before God, which is called Atonement. And if the Day of Atonement isn't until after the 1,000-year millennium, then the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering of all the nations, and the final great white throne judgment are also after the 1,000-year millennium. We are obviously talking about two distinctly different periods of time, a 1,000-year millennium, which is still part of the spring first fruit harvest, followed by a period of billions of humans' resurrections from the dead to living flesh. We are presently only observing a shadow of actual fall festivals. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The fall festivals are undeniably after the 1,000-year millennium. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. Remember that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Reference Revelation 20, verse 5. Ezekiel 37 describes the great resurrection of the valley of bones to living, breathing flesh. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, God prophesies against and deals with Gog and Magog. What happens next? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So let's continue with the real Day of Atonement, when Satan's reign of sin and deception is finally ended. I have a few more things to prove to you, starting again after the millennium. We'll come back to the tribulation later after we learn what is not going to be in the millennium. Revelation 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be released out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Revelation 20, verse 10. Brings us to the Day of Atonement, in which Satan is finally destroyed. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tortured day and night forever and ever. Remember that this is after the 1,000-year millennium. Reference Revelation 20, verses 7 and 8. The beast and false prophet were cast into a lake of fire before the millennium. Reference Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. After the Day of Atonement, when Satan is destroyed, we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, in which those who are resurrected to flesh are given their opportunity to repent and obey God's laws, after which they will be judged in the great white throne judgment. I want to call your attention to the following scriptures, six scriptures in Revelation. Note takers, please take note of these six scriptures. These following six scriptures in Revelation cover a very great many years. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Okay, Revelation 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whenever and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the third time a lake of fire is used. First time was the end of the tribulation when the beast and the false prophet. Second time after the millennium when Satan was cast into the lake of fire. And now at the end of the white throne judgment, the third time. All flesh has now either been changed to spirit or destroyed in the lake of fire. And now it's time for the eighth day, the holy day after the Feast of Tabernacles, when there is a new heaven and a new earth prepared for the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven, and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember the sequence of events. One, Satan is destroyed and chained in the bottomless pit, not chained in the bottomless pit as before the millennium. Reference Revelation 20, verses 1 through 5. 1 through 3. Number 2, the dead, now resurrected to flesh, are taught God's laws and ways of life, given the opportunity to repent, and are judged in the great white throne judgment to either eternal spiritual life or death in the lake of fire. Number 3, then the earth is destroyed, a new heaven and a new earth are created, after which, 4, God sends the holy city, New Jerusalem, to the earth from heaven to be with the new all spiritual family. Now compare those six scriptures in Revelation with these four scriptures in the third chapter of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The judgment and perdition of ungodly men is the great white throne judgment. Next verse, 2 Peter 3, verse 8. These verses are exactly together, one after another. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. It says, brethren, be not ignorant of this one thing. So what do we do? Yes, we ignore it. How many days is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering of Nations? You should know that one. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, next verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men can count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Next verse, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Sound familiar? The Feast of Tabernacles and the Great White Throne Judgment are just before the earth is destroyed by fire. The Great White Throne Judgment is for the judgment of the dead that are resurrected to flesh during the fall harvest, the 7,000-year Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Ingathering of All Nations. Where is 2 Peter 3, verse 8? Listen carefully. As in the spring first fruit harvest, beginning the millennium, again after the millennium, the main fall harvest of souls will be harvested and brought into the family of God. The spring first fruits, the priests and kings from the millennium, will assist the angels to bring in the sheaves, the vast bulk of humanity, during the main fall harvest. This great multitude of souls, the bulk of humanity, resurrected to flesh, will be full of terrors. Matthew 13, verse 39. The enemy that soweth them, talking about the tares, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. Matthew 13, 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and from which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When does this happen? We just read in the previous verses that it is at the end of the world. The millennium is not the end of the world. Exodus 34, verse 22, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Can it be any clearer? What did the resurrected first fruits in Revelation 7, verse 9 hold in their hands? Leviticus 23, 40, and we shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brooks, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Verse 42. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech you. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. It is now the time to restore to the ecclesia the spiritual meaning of the rejoicing with branches as revealed by Jesus Christ. We are to cut branches on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we are to rejoice with them for the whole 7 days, acting out the resurrection of the main harvest of humanity into the family of God with great rejoicing. These branches during the Feast of Tabernacles represent the main harvest of all humanity who were not converted as part of the first fruits, representing our unconverted mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, husbands, wives, friends, associates of all kinds of people, even our enemies in this life. Being grafted into God the Father and Jesus Christ in the new covenant of godliness with the potential to receive the gift of eternal life. The command in Leviticus 23, verse 40, to rejoice with the branches for 7 days implies that the ingathering of all nations, the resurrection of more than 20 billion people, will continue throughout the entire 7,000 years. In the temple celebration on each day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the people in the temple courtyard would hold their clusters of branches, waving them before the Lord and making a procession around the altar. The first 6 days they would circle the altar once, and on the seventh day they would circle the altar 7 times to increase the celebration. During the procession, on the seventh day, they would recite a prayer which became known as the Hosanna. It's just what it's called, the Hosanna, in Psalms 118, verse 25. For this reason, the last and seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, not the feast of the eighth day, became known as the Hosanna Rabbah, meaning the day of great salvation, or the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. What did the great multitude in Revelation 7, verse 10 cry with a loud voice? Salvation to our God. During the 7,000 years of the main harvest of humanity, the Feast of Ingathering of Nations, those resurrected to flesh, are given their opportunity to repent and choose God's way of life. And will live to the age of 100 years and will then be judged. Those who have learned to live by every word of God will be rewarded with a change of spirit and the gift of eternal life. And the unrepentant wicked will be cast into the lake of fire. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Saying that more than 20 billion people, resurrected from the grave to living flesh, given the opportunity to again live a physical life, learning God's commandments and laws, and then to repent and demonstrate their faith by living according to God's commandments, will happen within the 7-day period is incomprehensible. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. The Feast of the Ingathering of Nations, or Tabernacles, represents the bringing in of the main harvest of humanity, the grafting in of the branches of the main harvest of humanity into the true vine and the root of that great tree of eternal life, Jesus Christ and God the Father. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that abides in me that beareth not fruit, he, the Father, taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The lesson of the Feast of Tabernacles is that all humanity are branches needing to be grafted into the true vine, Jesus Christ, and into God the Father, and into their word and their ways, which lead to the spiritual promised land of eternal life. Remember that the first fruit resurrections at the end of the tribulation were the dead in Christ and the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Listen carefully to Ezekiel 37, verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. That doesn't sound like a 7-day event to me. Remember, the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. The 7 days, 7,000 years of the Feast of Ingathering of Nations are completed when the last person is changed to spirit or destroyed for unrepentant wickedness at the end of the 7th day of Feast of Tabernacles. I'm making a wild guess here, but I bet that those billions resurrected to flesh are going to be hungry. The line at Chick-fil-A could be very long. There will be human people living in the flesh in the millennium and also during the Feast of Tabernacles before the eighth day. During the 1,000-year millennium, Christ in his spiritual first fruits will establish the kingdom of God, teach and convert those in the flesh who survive the tribulation, and the new family generations, and prepare the earth for the main fall harvest of humanity, the Feast of Tabernacles. After the Feast of Tabernacles, the eighth day represents a new beginning with God and His spiritual family. The eighth day is the first day after a cycle of seven. The eighth day always pictures a new beginning. Christ will then create new heavens and a new earth to give the kingdom to God, the Father, coming down from heaven with the holy city, New Jerusalem, to dwell with the spiritual family, going forward into eternity in peace and harmony, free from all sin and spiritual impurity. Isaiah 65, verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." How often have you heard or read the following scriptures, not fully understanding what they are saying? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Christ returns at the end of the tribulation to take his bride to heaven for the wedding. First, Christ the firstfruits. Remember that the dead in Christ, the chosen saints, shall be resurrected first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Next, the chosen living, 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, will be resurrected to spirit. Please make a note, this is not the whole house of Israel, but only 144,000 who survived the tribulation, being sealed by an angel of God. Continuing, 1 Corinthians 15:25. "Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming." 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord." Revelation 19, verse 9. "And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And then the understanding of this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." Verse 25, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." We need to take a closer look at this scripture. "Then cometh the end." What end is this referring to? Continuing again, 1 Corinthians 15:24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father." Notice, not the kingdom of God, but the kingdom to God, even the Father. Continuing, "when he," Christ, "shall have put down all rule, all authority, in power." Verse 25, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." When does God give the kingdom to God? When will he have put down all rule and all authority and power? When will all enemies be put under his feet? This is not the end of the tribulation, nor is it the end of the millennium. 1 Corinthians 15:25. "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Verse 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." In the millennium, there will still be sin. Remember the two leavened loaves in Pentecost. Leavened loaves represent sin. Those who survive the tribulation and live in the seventh day, 1,000-year millennium in the flesh, will be given the opportunity to learn God's laws, and if they repent, then upon their death they will qualify to become part of the spiritual family of God. The millennium is the seventh day of the week following 6,000 years of coming out of sin to establish God's kingdom. The first fruit resurrections of kings, priests, and servants will prepare the earth for the coming fall harvest of all humanity following the millennium. Sinners in the millennium are enemies of God, and after the millennium, Satan will be released, God's biggest enemy. During the 7,000-year Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles, all past unrepentant humanity will be resurrected to flesh to learn God's laws and ways of life and eventually have the Great White Throne Judgment. Any unrepentant sinners are enemies of God. When will death be destroyed? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is Revelation 20, verse 14. This is the second death, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the end of the Great White Throne Judgment, at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of the world, when the last enemy, death, has been destroyed. Just before the earth is cleansed by fire and God the Father sends the Holy City to the earth, the eighth day, when Christ delivers the kingdom to God, even the Father. Isaiah foretells a future prophecy relative to God's chosen city, Jerusalem, and the kingdom of God. Isaiah 65:18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Next we come to the eighth day, Holy Day, after the Feast of Tabernacles, when the faithful, righteous, godly will go forth into eternity with God the Father and Jesus Christ. After the wicked, the enemies of God, have been completely destroyed, and the earth is cleansed by fire. You've heard the scripture that not one jot or one little tittle shall be no wise passed. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Then we read in Revelation 21, verse 1. And they saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 24, verse 21, chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Remember, death is the last enemy to be destroyed. This scripture refers to what God calls the end of the world. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Reference Matthew 13, verse 39 and 40, which we read earlier. The harvest is the end of the world. The tares are burned in the fire. Only God's family of spiritual beings remain after death is destroyed. Have all things been fulfilled? Revelation 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst, give unto him that is athirst of the first fountain of youth of life freely. Verse 7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There will be a new beginning. Our past struggles with sin will not be remembered. Isaiah 65, verse 17, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And say it's 64 or 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Also 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which Christ hath prepared for them that love him. Hebrews 2, verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. The world to come is certainly not the millennium, as Satan will be released after the millennium, and the nations will confront each other again. The millennium is not the end of God's plan. It is the next step in his plan to expand his spiritual family and continue the creation of the universe. And we have been given the opportunity to be part of that. And now back to our present day, we have a tribulation staring us in the face. We want to be part of the first resurrection, which is a first fruit resurrection to spirit at the end of the tribulation. As spiritual first fruits, we will not be subject to the second death. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. One such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. As spiritual priests of God, we will be able to travel anywhere in the earth to do God's work and prepare the earth for the coming fall harvest, the resurrection of more than 20 billion people to flesh, all of past humanity. God's calling to us in this life is to train us and teach us and to prepare us to be laborers to help bring in the fall main harvest, after which will be the second death. Remember Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the third lake of fire, ending the great white throne judgment at the end of the 7,000 years Feast of Tabernacles. Back to the tribulation. Revelation 12, verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half time, from the face of the serpent. The elect is protected from Satan for 3.5 years. In Revelation 6, verse 9, the fifth seal is opened. And when he hath opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the words of God, and for the testimony which they held. These are the dead in Christ, the prophets, saints, dead in Christ to be the first to be resurrected. Revelation 6, verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood of them that dwell on the earth? Verse 11. And white robes were given unto them, every one of them, and they were told to rest yet for a little season. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Verse 17. And the great day of his wrath is come, and shall be able to, who shall be able to stand? Heaven is opened, and kings hid from the day of the Lamb. Revelation 7, verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. The 144,000 who have been sealed are alive during the tribulation. They are sealed so that they are not harmed during the punishments and plagues delivered by angels upon the earth. and unrepentant men. Not only will these 144,000 be changed when the seventh trumpet begins to sound, but all the faithful dead, the great multitude in Revelation 7, 9 through 17, who have lived since Abel will be resurrected first. These are spiritual resurrections. No one has been resurrected to physical flesh. Matthew 24, 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, not the billions who do not know Christ. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we, the 144,000 from Revelation 7, ever be with the Lord. Both the resurrected dead and those who are alive and sealed with God's Spirit will be part of the first fruit resurrection to spirit life. At the end of the tribulation, the dead in Christ and the living 144,000 sealed with God's Spirit, servants, prophets, and saints, will be resurrected, judged, and given rewards and positions to begin the millennium as eternal spirits. Revelation 11, verse 18. And the nations were angry, and the wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name. These are the resurrected first fruits. Then seven angels appear in heaven, seventh seal, Revelation 8, verses 1 through 5. And are given seven golden vials of the wrath of God to be poured out onto the earth. Revelation 15 gives us more information. 15 verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. The seven last plagues will take an additional period of time for these their effects to be fully completed. The first and second woes combined last for 18 months. An additional 45 days makes a total of 1,335 days. The 45 days is the time between the resurrection of both the dead in Christ and the 144,000 living Israelites, followed by the return of Christ to establish the kingdom of God. We read in Daniel 12 that from the time that the abomination is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. The resurrection of the chosen will take place at that time. The saints will be gathered together by the bridegroom at the end of the sixth day of unleavened bread and taken to the house of the Father in heaven for the wedding feast. Then 45 days later, they return to the earth to establish God's kingdom on the day of Pentecost. The additional 45 days make 1,335 days. Daniel 12, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. The first fruit resurrections of the dead in Christ and the sealed living 144,000 servants are resurrected to spirit at the end of the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The significant event that includes 45 days later is Pentecost, which is called the Feast of First Fruits. What a surprise. It's approximately 45 days later, and in certain years, it is exactly 45 days after the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Revelation 15:19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Verse 20, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. As stated in this verse, the cities and nations, cities small and great, and mountains, the governments, collapsed. Heaven and earth are not burned with fire or changed until long after the thousand-year millennium, after the great white throne judgment. And the rest of the dead have been resurrected to flesh and judged. Why is Jerusalem divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fallen? Read Revelation 15:19 again. Why did this remind Christ, our God, of Babylon? Did you know that Jerusalem is known as the city of three religions? It is shared by Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Do any of them properly observe God's laws? Are they in agreement with each other? They want you to experience something that you likely have not experienced before. I'm not trying to make a statement or imply anything. Just consider this for educational purposes. When there is a declaration of peace and safety followed by the abomination of desolation going to the holy place, we know that there will be 3.5 years of tribulation. Everyone has heard this scripture, believing it is talking about the return of Christ. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Is it really talking about Christ's return? Actually, it's talking about the previous verse. Verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This isn't the return of Christ. Heaven and earth pass away at the end of the world when Christ creates a new heaven and a new earth. Remember that we are talking about a first fruit resurrection. A first fruit resurrection is reaped in the spring near the end of the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If it was reaped in the fall, it would be a fall harvest and not a spring first fruit harvest. Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who are these armies that come with Christ besides the resurrected first fruits? Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. All the holy angels? I think Satan has a problem. Revelation 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. That's 100 million plus. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Reference Revelation 6, verse 9. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Brethren, we are to prepare ourselves to become laborers fit to be resurrected to help God bring in the harvest of humanity into the family of God. To do that, we must learn and then teach the true gospel of sincere repentance and salvation. Today, we are in training to follow in the footsteps of our Lord to become a royal priesthood of priests, kings, so that in the resurrection of the chosen, we will become priests of the high priesthood of Melchizedek, following and helping our Lord to reconcile humanity to God the Father in the millennium, and later to laborers to ultimately bring in the great fall harvest of mankind, and gathering of all nations into eternal life in the family of God. The prophecies in Revelation should not be ignored. John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The last day? Would that be the great white throne judgment during the last 1,000 years of the Feast of Tabernacles? Revelation 22, verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Grace has revealed the future to us so that we can understand the present. When we understand all the prophetic scriptures, we can now correctly understand the timeline of God's plan and where we are in His plan of humanity. Therefore, let us diligently prepare ourselves, living by every word of God and part of the soon-to-be-resurrected chosen laborers of the first fruit harvest of God Almighty. The end-time events are falling into place very quickly, and they're in our face now. President Trump recently made a peace deal with the Arab nations. We need a peace deal to include Gaza and the Palestinians. A Mideast war may be necessary to achieve it. Don't fall asleep waiting for a physical temple to be built. Maybe Israel will put up their prefab temple. Maybe not. It's not relevant. And don't think that we must have a 3.5-year peace before the tribulation. A peace deal between multiple religions and cultures will never work. A knock will be at your door, and you'll be sleeping. For the return of Christ to coincide with the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the Pentecost time frame, the tribulation must begin near the end of a year, 3.5 years earlier. It already appears to be too late for this year for a declaration of peace and safety followed by the man of sin to go to the holy place, which is immediately followed by the tribulation. God does not destroy His people during the tribulation, but states in Daniel that He will scatter the power of the holy people. Daniel 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and sware to him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. And that brings us to the end of this presentation.